Has anyone ever had like a bad sunburn? Anyone? You've had a bad sunburn? You like, do you have a sunburn right now?
No, my face is just always red.
It's just always red? Oh, well, that's cool too. It looked, oh, ouch, that's no good.
I got mine in Nicaragua.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get really bad sunburn out there, right? Anyone ever, like, why'd you get sunburn? Was it like on the beach? How many beach sunburners are there out there? Anyone? Okay. All the girls almost. Girls, come on now. All right. Guys, you're probably like playing too much sports, right? You're on the field too long. Is that how you did it?
No.
No? No? Oh, all right. How'd you get a sunburn? The beach too. Okay. All right. Well, hey, the beach will do it. I was out working one day and I got a bad sunburn. I was down in Guatemala and I was on a mission team when I was like a student and I was down there and we were just working. And I remember we had this big pile of cow manure. You guys know what cow manure is?
Yeah.
Whew. All right. So it's a big pile of cow manure. And the missionary gave us like all these little baggies and he's like, all right, there are 2,000 baggies right there. And I need you to fill them all up from this big pile. And there were these little teeny plants that we were going to stick in, like, in these little baggies. So it was like fertilizer or something like that. I don't know what they were doing, but I just did it. So they give us all these baggies and we're like, we get a lot of poop here that we have to scoop. This is nasty. So we were getting to work and it was so hot. It was like out in the middle of the sun. I remember it was like, and I was pretty like white. I wasn't a very like tan kid. So I go in and I find what I think is like the best of the best sunblock. I'm like, I'm putting this junk on. It was like that really thick stuff, like it was really oily and smelled really good. So like, this stuff has to be awesome. It smells like coconut. You know, it smells great. So I get out there and I'm like, I'm going to work really hard and I put it all over myself. All right. And back in the day when I was all buff and stuff, I was working with my shirt off because it was really hot and I put it all over me and I was like, I was protected. So I had a ton of sunblock on. Well, I'm working. We spent the entire day out in the sun. That night I came back and I was purple. And I was like, what? What happened? I looked down and it wasn't sunblock. It was that oil stuff. You know what I'm talking about? The like suntan oil that's supposed to like make you like crispy fried critter by the end of the night. And I looked like a Thanksgiving Day turkey. It was crazy. And so I basically basted myself. Don't ever do that. All right. And so I came back and I remember that the next morning I was burned so bad. I woke up. And I had these blisters on my shoulders that popped up about that far. Yeah, nasty. And they were like full of this like green pus. And like, it was disgusting. It was all over my back, all over my shoulders. My like face had these like big pussy, like blister things. It wasn't just a sunburn. It was like up in high degree burn. All right. It was like a horrible, horrible burn. And so I remember I had to go to the nurse. And had like gone with our team and I go and I sit down and she took out these needles that were like this big. And she had to like stick the needle into each one of those blisters and suck the pus out of every single one of them. And she had to do that every day because they would keep refilling with like nastiness or they'd get infected. So she's sucking the pus out of these things. And then to make it worse, she took another needle that was full of this like antibiotic stuff and she'd have to inject it back and fill the pus things back up with the medicine every single morning. Oh, it was horrible. All right. How many of you guys want to do that? Anybody want to go to Guatemala? Anybody? No, just kidding. Just don't baste yourself and you'll be okay. It wasn't Guatemala. It was me. So it was horrible. Anyway, I got so sick. I got sun poisoning on top of it. Now, if you're in the sun too long and it like you get all that bad stuff going on, it can poison your blood. And so I got sun poisoning. And what that does, it makes you really nauseous and want to throw up a whole lot. Well, the timing of this was horrible because we had been there a couple weeks and the missionary had promised us that after a few weeks of working really hard, he would take us to this awesome place. It's actually one of the man-made wonders of the world. It's called Tikal. I'm pretty sure it still is. But anyway, Tikal is out in the jungle and it's this huge ruins and these like underground caves that you can go in and these like, it's just ridiculously awesome and everybody wanted to go. We had been dying to go there for weeks and then I do this. And there's no way I'm getting on a bus for like 7 hours throwing up every like 30 minutes and with a sunburn, so I have to stay back. And I'm the only one. And my whole team, they all like, they're all happy and they get their pillows and their bags and they jump on the bus and I'm sitting there all alone. I'm just like sitting in a hammock swinging. And I can't even lay back because it hurts so bad. I just have to sit up in the hammock and I got my little bucket so I can throw up in it next to me and I just get holding my pillow like, bye guys. You know, like it was miserable. And I'm sitting there with these blisters all over me, you know, big turkey. And so I'm thinking I'm going to be all alone. They had left me with like my nurses and stuff. They were still there chilling or whatever. So they're like, if you need anything, tell the nurses. And then I see the bus pull away. After a few minutes of being bored, all of a sudden I hear somebody coming down the hallway. And I turn around and I look, and it was the president of our school. Now, I went to a big college. So for the president of our university to stay back and not go, I was like, what's going on here? Am I in trouble? Like, what's happening? Is he sick? And so he walks up to me, and he had been waiting all week to do this thing. Like, he had gone down there pretty much to go see these ruins. And he's, I was like, how come you didn't go? And he's like, my brother is in need and hurting. He said, I'm staying back here with you. I was like, what? He just sacrificed his trip for me? And so he goes in his room and comes back out, and he pulls out like this. You guys know what a Discman is? Anybody know what a Discman is? Yeah, they're awesome, dude. It's like you could only, what? It was only like 4 years ago people were using Discman. Don't act like I'm old. iPods only came out 4 years ago. It was like pre-iPod. They used this thing called a Discman, which you put your CD in there and could get, like, carry it around, okay? It's an iPod, but for a CD. Now it's like obsolete. It's Stone Age. I know. You can find it at the ruins probably. But anyway, so he brought that out and all his CDs. He was like, here, you can listen to all my CDs. And he sits down, I'm going to keep you company. He talks to me. He's like giving me these books to read. And he just didn't want me to be bored and left all alone back there. I'm just like, this is crazy. Like, why would this guy who's the president, like, he could have told anyone else to stay back with me. But the president of the university chose to sit back in this chair and like chill with me. And I don't know why, but as I sat in that hammock, I was like, this just doesn't feel like, I don't deserve this guy to be here with me. Like, this is crazy. And then I remember something that was cooler than anything else he had done. He's like, Rob, the real reason why I stayed back is because I want to pray with you. I want to ask God that you heal quickly, that he keeps your spirits up. And I want to sit here for a while and just pray with my brother. And I was like, what, you want to pray for me? Like, you can be at the ruins right now, crawling through awesome caves and going up in these big pyramids, and you're sitting here praying for me. Like, this is crazy. And I remember almost every word of that prayer as he sat there, and I was sitting there miserable in my hammock, and the guy prayed for me. Like, what a cool honor that this guy, the president of my university, would be sitting there praying over little old Turkey Rob, you know? I was like, this is so cool. And I haven't forgotten it till this day. Now, something really cool about his prayer was that normally when we pray, right, what is praying? We've been talking about it a lot for a few weeks. Can you guys tell me, what is prayer? Just in a nutshell, just quick, in a couple words, what is it? How would you describe it?
Talking to God.
Talking to God. That's a great definition. What he did was talking to God, but you know, he wasn't just talking to God for himself. He was talking to God for me. And so the type of prayer that is called intercessory prayer. He's interceding for me. And that's when you talk to God for someone else. And that's what he was doing. He wasn't going to God asking for things for himself. He was going to God for me, like fighting this war for me, asking God to do something for me. Have you guys ever prayed for anyone else? Do your prayers, like when you go to bed at night or whenever you do your prayer time, is it just always about you? Or do you have people that you pray for in your life, other people that you're asking God for? That's called interceding for them. And that's a really important part of prayer. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. So, I want you to look real quick. We're in Exodus 32 first. We're going to have a lot of passages. So, how many of you guys get Bibles? Oh my goodness. A few of you do. If you get your Bibles, we're in Exodus 32. We're going to look at a couple people in the Bible who were awesome examples of intercessory prayer. They interceded for other people, and they do it in a really, really awesome way. And so hopefully by the time we get through this, we'll understand a little bit better on how we can pray for other people. So Exodus 32, verses 9 to 11. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, and that's who we're looking at here, Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. They're stubborn. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. Does God sound angry right now? A little bit, right? He wants to consume these people. In order that I may make a great nation of you. Here's Moses, right? He's kind of like dealing with these people, and they're stubborn and doing all this messed up stuff, and they're causing Moses all these headaches. And God's like, all right, guess what, Moses? I'm just going to destroy them, and I'm just going to make a new people for you. Easy, right? Like, I'll just take you and make a people. Now we get rid of all the headache and just, it's a simple solution. Sweet, God, do it. Let's go. Like, I mean, that would be the easiest thing to do for Moses. Now look what happens though. Verse 11 says, but Moses implored, that means like begged the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you've brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand?" He's like, "God, why do you want to do this?" He wasn't like, "Yeah, go ahead, destroy him and start over. This would be much easier. God, do it." He's like, "God, whoa, whoa, whoa. God, wait a minute. Why do you want to do this to them?" Skip down to verse 14 real quick. Let's fast forward and see what happens after he begs God of these people. It says, "And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken to bring on his people." You know what that means? God decided not to do it. Moses was like, "Don't do it, God. Like, let's think about this for a second." You know what that's called? You guys remember the word I just said? Yeah, he interceded for the people of Israel because God was about to go boom and they were about to go psst. All right, that's pretty much what was going to go down, just in a couple sound effects. All right, it was going to be bad for them. But Moses interceded and prayed to God. He was like, "God, don't do this." And God actually didn't do it because he listened to the prayer of Moses. That's really awesome because it would have been easier for Moses just to let him go. Skip all the way down to verse 31. Fast forward way ahead now and let's see what Moses says. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, this people has sinned a great sin." God, like, I realize the Israelites have sinned in a big way here. "They've made for themselves gods of gold." Like, they've walked away from you, God. "But now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you've written." This is huge. Because what Moses is doing here is saying, "God, these people messed up big time, but I'm begging you to forgive them. And I'm begging it so hard that I'm willing to give up my own salvation for them, that they be saved. Please save these people. I love them so much. I'll give myself up for them. I'm not going to just pray empty words to you. I'm going to actually be serious about it and beg you and be willing to sacrifice whatever I need to sacrifice. So if you need to blot me out of your book of salvation so they can be saved, do it so they can be with you forever. I love these people and I love you so much. I'll do whatever it takes." Wow. Those type of prayers are bigger than just words that you're talking to God. That's the type of prayer where all of you is in and you're saying, "I'll sacrifice whatever it takes, God." That's what Moses was doing here. That is powerful intercessory prayer. Now we know that because we can look to Jesus. If we look at Jesus' example, look at Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Pop there real quick. Jesus is our best example, right? Because he's perfect. He's the Son of God. So let's look and see what Jesus says in Mark 10, 45. "For even the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "came not to be served, but to serve." And to what? What does it say next? What did he come to do? Give his life for as a ransom for many. Jesus did the same thing, didn't he? As he came down to earth, he said, "I'll give up my entire life, God, for these people." Guess who these people are? You guys sitting in these chairs right now. People all around us. People who have lived, people who are to come. Jesus said, "I love humans so much that I'm willing to give up my whole life. I'll die on a cross. I'll sacrifice myself for these people." And he's begging God. He's begging the Father. Look at that. That's interceding for us. Like, Jesus interceded for us, but he didn't just say words. He said, "I'll give my whole life," and he did. We know that Jesus died on the cross for us. We know that Jesus did that so that you could be forgiven of your sin and so that you can have salvation. So look at one more example with me, will you? We're going to look at Paul. Anybody know who the Apostle Paul is? Ever heard of his name? Nobody? A few of you? Who's the Apostle Paul? Can anybody tell us? We've talked about him. We've studied a few of his books so far in Firehouse. Da-dum-dum, da-da-dum-dum-dum, Jeopardy. No, nobody knows? All right. Paul was one of the guys who went around planting churches all over the place, and all of a sudden the church grew in a major way, and basically we're sitting here today because God used Paul to plant all sorts of churches. All right, so he's an awesome guy. He wrote most of the New Testament. Okay, so when you read the New Testament, from Matthew all the way to Revelation, a lot of those books were written by this guy, Paul. This is Paul. Ready? It says, look at Romans 9, verse 3. Paul says a very similar thing to both Moses, as both Moses and Jesus. Look what Paul says here in Romans. "For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Even Paul himself said the same thing. Almost, it could even be a quote. Some people think he was actually quoting, in a way, Moses. To describe the way that he felt here, the same way that Moses felt and the same way that Jesus felt, Paul's feeling it too as he looks at these Jews and he's saying, I love these people so much. I love them so much, God. I want you to forgive their sin. I want you to save these people. And I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to actually do something about it, not just say it. And if I have to give up my own salvation for this, God, do it so they can be saved and be with you forever. Those are some big words, because he had a big heart to back it up. And so as Paul was willing to intercede for these people, he was willing to do something too to back that up. And it made his prayer powerful. All right. So we have those three awesome examples. But here's the deal. It all comes down to praying for others out of a deep, deep love for them. You got to actually love people. You got to actually love people to be able to pray like this. And if you do love people that much, guess what you will do? You'll pray for them. You'll lift them up, because we've been learning over these last like 4, 5, 6 weeks that prayer is this awesome, powerful weapon that you have right in your hands to be able to walk into the throne room of God, right? Right to his throne and be like, Creator, I need to talk to you. And there God is listening to you. Undivided attention from the God of the universe, and your voice is the one he hears as you talk to him. And he loves it. He loves it. He loves it so much that Jesus died for you. Now, what are you doing with that prayer? What are you doing with that gift to be able to walk into his throne room and bring things before him? How are you using it? We see a powerful way to use it, if you really do love people like Jesus did, is you'll pray for people. You'll lift them up before God. When they're sick, when they're struggling with sin, when they need to be saved and you just desperately want to see them accept Christ, you lift them up and you beg God for them. So, let's look real quick. I want us to peek at another verse here. John chapter 17. All right. John chapter 17. Verse 9. And this is what Jesus says here. I'm praying for them. Talking about his disciples, okay? I'm not praying for the world. Those would be people who aren't saved, right? But for those whom you have given me, for they're yours. I don't ask for these only. Oh, I'm sorry. I skip into verse 20 real quick. I'm going to skip ahead. Verse 20. It says, I don't ask for these only, just these people, but also, look what it says next, for those who will believe in me through their word. Wait a minute. Who's Jesus praying for right now? People who are going to get saved who aren't even saved yet. So think about it. Jesus lived before us. We weren't born. We weren't saved yet. And Jesus is saying this. Guess who Jesus was praying for in this verse? You! You're in the Bible! How awesome is that? Like, you're mentioned. This is you he's talking about if you're saved today. Jesus says, I'm praying for the people that are going to be saved. I'm begging my God for them right now, not just the ones that already are, but also for the ones that will be saved through the teaching of these disciples. Jesus was praying that you would be saved, and today you're sitting in these chairs, and if you've accepted Christ, it's because Jesus prayed for you to do that. Whoa! Like, how awesome is that? Jesus interceded for you. He did this thing we're talking about tonight for you. And that's led you to salvation. How awesome is that? 1 Samuel chapter 12. We're skipping around a lot, so just keep up with me. I'm trying to get your finger strong if you're using a digital phone. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23 says, Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. And I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Wait a minute, what did he just say there? Far be it from me that I should what? What's that next word? That I should sin by what? By ceasing to what?
Pray.
Wait a minute, is he saying that by not praying, it's sin, but to not pray for people? Wow, Samuel looked at this failing to pray for other people and intercede for other people as sin. He's like, God, I admit this feels like sin to me that I'm not lifting these people up and praying for them. That's how serious this thing is. Do you have people in your life that you're lifting up and praying for? We talked a long time about having your five. You guys remember what your five is? Like, who's your five? Having those people in your life that you're praying for, that you're sharing Christ with. Be praying for other people. It's so serious that you're lifting them up. Because remember when we prayed, we talked about how was it Daniel that was praying, and these angels were literally going to come down and help, but his prayers were giving them like the ability, this power to come down here, and God was answering that prayer. Like, because he prayed, they were able to come and beat those demons. Like, your prayer is so powerful, even though you can't see it. It is powerful in other people's lives. So I want you to close your eyes for a second. This isn't an invitation yet, but I do want you to close your eyes for a second, okay? And I want you just to imagine or think about the people in your life. Think about a couple people. Are there people in your life right now, A, that you love, that need your prayer desperately? Mom or dad, maybe? Maybe a cousin, an uncle, a friend, somebody at school, a teacher. Who are the people in your life that could desperately use you going to battle for them in prayer? Lifting them up, interceding for them. Samuel says, man, God, I feel like this is a sin to not be lifting these people up. How, just let it be far from me to not do that. I encourage you guys, as you think about those people and they come to your heart, dedicate right now. You tell God, talk to him right now, and you tell him, God, I want to commit to pray for these people I'm thinking of. I want to make that commitment to you right now, God, as I sit here in this chair, that I will constantly be praying for these people to either get saved or to come to you, whatever it might be. But you make that commitment right now. Let it be far from you to forget to pray for these people that you'll go to battle for and intercede for. You take a second to do that. All right. I just want you to see the example of Paul as you're thinking of those people right now in your heart and you just prayed to God and talked to him about it. Listen to what Paul did, because he made the same commitment as you to a whole lot of different people. Okay, so I'm going to read you a few of these verses as we close so you can hear just the heart of this guy Paul we're talking about. Romans 1 verses 9 and 10 says this, "For God is my witness." He did just what you just did. All right. God, you're my witness. I promise to pray for these people whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son. Get this part. That without ceasing, without stopping, I mention you always in my prayers. Always. Asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. Like Paul's like, hey, Romans, people in Rome, I'm always going to be praying for you. And God's my witness at that because I told him, I committed you to God that I'd be praying for you. Look what he says to the Ephesians. Paul says the same thing to the people in Ephesus, a whole nother place. He says, Ephesians 1:16, I don't cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. He's praying for them too. Look at what he says to the Philippians in Philippians 1:4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Praying for them too, all the time, in every single one. Look at what he says to the people in Colossians 1:9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. What? He's praying for a whole lot of people here, isn't he? This is awesome. Look what he says to the people in the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1:2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. Look at this. He is one prayer warrior. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1:11. He says, to this end, we always pray for you. And then finally, in 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors with a clear conscience. Get this part. As I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. what's that, like seven? I can't even count those. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Those are just seven places, seven different people groups that Paul's like, hey, church, I'm praying for you constantly before God. That's a lot of people Paul's praying for. I mean, he must have spent a ton of time in prayer, and he must have known this, that prayer is love on its knees. If you really love people, you're going to be on your knees praying for them. Are you on your knees for people? Do you love them enough to get on your knees and beg God with this powerful tool we keep talking about? Because it's one thing just to talk about prayer every week. Good for us. Yay, we understand what prayer is. It's another thing for you to get up and actually use it. Pray. Talk to Him. Take advantage of this ability to walk into the throne of God and beg God for people. For the people you love that are hurting or far from Him and need Him or aren't even saved. Will you pray? Will you go to battle for these people? So finally, I want to end with this one verse. It's Psalm 106:23. Psalm 106:23 says this, therefore he said he would destroy them. Remember Moses? Remember when Moses was talking to God in the beginning? This is what it's about. Therefore he said he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath from destroying him. Did you hear those three awesome words right in the middle? Had not Moses. God was going to destroy the people of Israel, but guess what happened? There's this one dude named Moses who was, God, I'm going to stand in the gap. God, I'm going to bring my intercessory prayer in the gap for these people, and I'm going to beg you to forgive them. And Moses stood in that place. Moses was willing to go there and show his love on his knees before God and beg through intercessory prayer. And it was big enough that God listened. Do you believe God listens to you? Do you believe God really hears and cares what you're saying? If so, get on your knees. Ask Him for more. And you keep talking to your God and do it for other people. Start begging Him for the people in your life that are lost. And I challenge you, as you're thinking about these people that might sit in your classrooms at school, these are the kids your age that are going around and have no idea who God is. And you know it because you're seeing how they live. You get a heart that's burdened for them. Will you love them enough that your heart breaks for them? Like Paul and all these guys who were like, I'll sacrifice anything, God. I'm not going to just say the words. I'm not just going to come to Firehouse and tell Rob that I'm praying for people and feel good about myself. I'm really going to mean it to where I'll sacrifice whatever it takes and I will beg you night and day until you save their souls. Because I love them that much. Will you get on your knees and pray for them? Will you beg God for those people in your life? All right? That's the word for us tonight. So let's pray together. Father, we do love you and we thank you for loving us enough to let us walk in your throne. To let us come into your presence. And we know we can only do it because of what Jesus did for us. And we know it was a great love that we can't even understand that came here to die for us and to save us. And God, words don't express that. And I can't understand that. But thank you. And Jesus, I pray that we take advantage of this awesome ability you've given us called prayer. To stand in the gap like Moses did for the people of Israel. Father, that we would stand in the gap for the people in our lives that are lost and don't know you. That they would come to know the Savior of all mankind, Jesus Christ. We love you. I pray, God, if there's people in this room tonight, I want to intercede for them right now. God, if there are students in this room that don't know you, please, God, forgive them of their sins. Grab onto their hearts. Bring them to trust and believe in you for salvation. God, we know you're big and you're strong and you, Jesus, were praying for them way before this. Back in Bible days, you were already praying for them. As they sit here tonight, God, I might not know you. You are already praying for them to get saved and so are we. We beg you for that. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.